Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to wrap up our reflection this week on the Feast of Pentecost and the amazing gift that each one of us has been given. And I hope you had a chance to tune in this week. If you haven't, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. You can download the programs to your computer, to your iPod. You can also download our app, which will give you immediate access to our TV program, The Choices We Face, Food for the Journey, Sister Anne's wonderful program, Fire on the Earth, this one, inspiring talks and informative articles, our monthly newsletter, the Crossing the Gold television programs. And also, you'll be able to get access to something I'd love to invite you to. We're going to be celebrating, that is, Renewal Ministries will be celebrating our 40th anniversary next year in 2020. And to celebrate it, as we kind of prayed and talked about it, we felt the Lord prompting us to walk in the footsteps of St. Paul, which we've never done before. We've done a number of pilgrimages to Israel and other places, but never walking in the footsteps of St. Paul. And we all love so deeply St. Paul's teaching and the life he lived in the Holy Spirit, and how much, the new Pentecost he lived in, you could say, or Pentecost experience. And he was such a wonderful teacher and apostle. And so next year, May 13th through the 22nd, 2020, we'll be going with Dr. Peter Williamson, Ralph Martin, myself, and a number of other teachers we're still bringing together. I'll give you more information on that. And we're going to have some priests there with us as well, who will be able to celebrate Mass each day as we make our way through the pilgrimage. And then there'll be a three-day cruise extension that's optional from the 22nd to the 25th. But if you'd like more information about it, you can go to our website at renewalministries.net. Would love to have you. Would love to meet you. It'll be a small group. We're not going to take any more than two buses. So it'll be intimate. It'll be personal. You'll have time to get to know our team. We'd love to get to know you. Those of you who've been faithful listeners and friends over these years, you can share in our joy and our celebration. And we really do anticipate it being a time of Pentecost for us. And we're going to go with expectant hearts and really listening together to the Holy Spirit and being ready to receive from the Holy Spirit whatever he wants to give to us. He's a good God, and he has much in store for us, I know. So I'd like to just finish a little bit from Acts chapter 2 that was left from where I finished yesterday, and then just share with you a bit of my own story about coming more alive as a baptized Catholic in the power and the grace of the Holy Spirit. Of course, we heard Peter, St. Peter, declaring that Jesus was raised from the dead all of those Jewish people from the 12 tribes, from many different places, countries, had come for the celebration of the Feast of Pentecost. And Peter preached about the reality of what was happening in them. The key thing was he bore witness. Jesus said, "You shall be my witnesses." And every baptized Catholic, every Christian should hear those words echoing in his mind or her mind and heart. You shall be my witnesses. It's part and parcel to the whole Christian thing. It's really at the heart of what the Holy Spirit, given to us in baptism, wants to empower us to do, not only to live a new way of life, to walk in holiness, to be conformed to the person of Jesus, but to get after and to walk in and run in Jesus' mission. It's very important. So Peter's bearing witness to the fact that Jesus was crucified, he was raised from the dead, that they've seen him, they know him, they've touched him, and that God has made Jesus Lord of all, and that he will come again in his glory to judge the living and the dead. And people said, how do we respond to the fact of what God has done in Jesus? What's the response to the fact that this man was raised from the dead, that he was vindicated, everything he said about himself, that he and the Father were one, that heaven came to earth in the person of Jesus, and that all the teaching and the encouragement, but the warnings he gave us about not responding to him and not responding to the offer of salvation. They want to know, what should we do, brothers? And he said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he testified with many other words and exhorted them. So Peter preached more, and he exhorted them to respond. He said, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Save yourselves from a world that ignores God, that's running away from God. They're running, they don't even know it. They're running into judgment. So save yourselves and bring others with you, is the exhortation that Peter is giving. And he goes on later in the chapter and says, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. There were thousands gathered, 3,000 were converted that day. it was mentioned earlier in the chapter, as Peter exhorted them to be saved, they responded, and that was the harvest. Remember, he said earlier in the week that Pentecost was a harvest feast, and it was pointing toward this day of Pentecost. It wasn't just a harvest of the grain. It was now the harvest of souls, the mission of the church. That's why the church exists. And as the Spirit began to work, and it said that, and fear came upon every soul. And that's good fear. That's the fear that shakes us. That's the fear that aligns us with God. It's the fear that stirs us to be awakened to the fact of God, the reality of God, and God's majesty and power and authority, and that we are his creatures. We're made by him. And to live a life that ignores him or turns from him is just, it's horrible. But this is the fear that brings about wisdom. This is good stuff. And it said, fear came upon every soul, and may it come on every soul now in the church today and beyond. And many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Jesus said, greater signs than these will accompany those who believe, not just the apostles. Mighty works and signs, wonders and signs are happening actually right now all over the world. But more needs to happen. It's my view, every parish, every diocese should be a place where people can come and see and experience the reality that Christ is proclaimed and lived and he's alive, and that the power and presence of the Holy Spirit is manifest in the conviction and the witness of the people, in the joy and the unity of the people, in the signs and the wonders that are being worked through the people for the glory of God, people being healed, where prophetic words are going forward and the church is alive. It's living Pentecost. People ask, well, you know, what's our great need now? You know, look at the terrible condition the church is in. And so we've got all these, you know, I'm sorry, I just want to say it, wise fools rising up in the church say, look, we need to get with it and be more like the world, essentially. We need to sign on for all the things that the world, the sexual revolution, and the rest of it is pushing. We need to get softer on abortion. We need to let go of the contraception thing. We need to, you know, accept all forms of sexuality, and all forms of marriage, all forms of self-definition, all of that stuff. There's literal voices, priests and others and bishops are rising up saying that's the direction the church ought to go in. That's why people aren't really tracking with the church right now, because we're somehow out of step. Don't believe it for a moment. That is foolishness. It's a lie. It's from the pit. It's not real. What we need is Pentecost. Now, it's easy for human beings to just go with the tide, but it's very difficult for people to get humble, surrendered, be willing to be stirred and filled by the Holy Spirit and boldly proclaim Jesus and step out in doing signs and wonders and serving the people who don't know Christ and even serving the people of God. That's harder because you got to radically rely on God. You got to be willing to look foolish. You've got to be willing to be surrendered and trust God. And you have to have faith. You have to have faith that this is real, that Pentecost is an ongoing reality, not just a historical thing we remember. Friends, in my own life, I mean, I grew up in a Catholic family. I've shared my testimony a few times over the years. A good family, 7 kids in a small town in southern Minnesota. We were churchgoers on Sunday. I mean, but like most of my siblings, once they reached high school, I did as they did. Probably I did it more radically than they did. I began to drift away from the faith. I often skipped church. I didn't pay attention. I broke the commandments. I was kind of a radical kid. Not radical for the Lord, but for many of the wrong kind of things. And to make a long story short, there was much good about our family life, but there was much trouble. My father had been a World War II tank commander, and he had came home. He had PTSD to deal with it. Part of the way he dealt with it was drinking. He became alcoholic. So we experienced all the negative stuff that comes from that, you know, the dysfunction, the inability to just really, to kind of live in the real world. You know, we were afraid to identify the elephants in the room. There was a lot of denial. There was a lot of isolation and loneliness and all things that happen in that context. We were drifting from the faith, but in the heart of it, at a certain point in the late 1970s, most of my siblings were out of the house, but my oldest sister, who was married at the time, and called home and said, I got to come home this weekend. I want to bring the family. I got to tell you something amazing that's happened. And she came home, and this is the first time in the four walls of our home that I have any recollection of where one of my family members bore witness to a living Jesus in terms of bearing witness to the fact that he's risen, that he's alive, that he's become the Lord of her life, and that he has power right now to change lives, and that he was going to, if we turned our hearts to him, was going to heal my father, and he was going to renew us, basically, is what God intended. And she was filled with what Pope Francis described in this grace of a new Pentecost as a current of grace, a current of power that flows from the day of Pentecost, from the day we've been studying. And my sister was so dynamic and alive with faith. I never heard anybody in my family talk like that. I certainly didn't. We didn't share the faith openly with each other. I had no idea what my siblings believed ultimately. It was not part of our habits, you know, in our family life. I didn't know whether to believe it or not, but that night there's nothing more I wanted than my father to be healed. And that night I was laying in bed thinking about it. I got out of bed, knelt next to my bed for the first time since elementary school and just cried out to God. Said, if you're real, please heal Dad. I'll give my heart to you. You know, I laid in bed that night and sort of cried myself to sleep. Maybe the only time ever in high school that happened to me. A few weeks later, my father came home and he had been drinking, and I was waiting up for him to see that he got to bed. And I normally didn't try to engage him because we'd fight. We had lots of arguments over the years. And I mean, physically, Dad never hurt anybody, but he had a lot of pain and anger and self-loathing and pain from the war and all kinds of stuff. And it would come out when he drank. And he'd say things that would trigger stuff in me, and I was mad at him. And I said things and did things during some of those years that I never should have done. So I tried not to engage him. And he was sitting next to me, kept my head down. I was doing homework at a dining room table. And I could smell the booze on him. And he was quiet at first. And then he said, son. You know, and I didn't look at him. And then he reached out and grabbed my arm, and he said, Peter, son, look at me. And I looked at him, and he said, son, I'm a sick man, and I need help. Please help me. And Dad denied it always that he had a problem. It was the first time ever that I ever heard him say that. And he began to cry. I never saw my father cry before. I mean, he just saw a tear come down his cheek. And out of me came the words, Dad, it's going to be okay. You know, God is going to help us. God's going to help you. And I had kind of like an out-of-the-body experience, like, what do you know? I was like 17 or something. But it was that faith that my sister communicated. She bore witness to a living Jesus and that he's Lord and that our family was in bondage and we needed the power and the majesty of our own baptism that Christ gave us, this grace of Pentecost, to be operative. But I didn't understand it fully at that time. And Dad got right up, called our family physician late at night and said, you know, Doc, this is Joe Herbeck. I'm sick. I need help. Please help me. And Dad went into treatment the next morning. 4 weeks later, he got up and said, my name is Joe Herbeck. I'm an alcoholic. I can't live without God at the center of my life. And Dad was sober from those days and lived 20 more years or so. And best years of his life, our family, all seven kids really came back to the Lord. Some of them had already been in the Lord, but others came back. And that was the beginning for me. And I began, a hunger started in my heart. And the Holy Spirit began to move, and I began to cry out to God. I know there's more. I see it. There's more. I want the more. I want to pay attention, Lord. I want to live in it. I want to walk in it. And I said, I don't know how to do this. I'm weak. I fall. I'm sinful. And people who are wise just said, just keep seeking. Ask for more of the Holy Spirit. And I did, and I did, and I did. And, you know, many, many years later, I look back and I say, this is everything on Pentecost is real. And it's real for you, and it's real for me. No matter where you are, friend, cry out to God. Seek him. And he'll answer. Have a great weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks very candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. It's an inspiring booklet I think you will be encouraged and strengthened by. If you'd like it, you could call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE, or you can subscribe to our podcast.